Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, our topic for this session is going to be the consequences of sexual perversion and sodomy. Now, in our three previous sessions, we dealt with what the Bible has to say about sexual perversion and sodomy. We went through the entire Bible and done an analysis on just about every passage that we could find, and we sat down and done three sessions on that particular topic, and we would encourage you to go back and listen to those. And the focus of this particular session is going to be some of the consequences in just about every area of life that you can think about that come about as a result of the sin of sodomy. What we'll be talking about today is the terrible cost of AIDS, the plague of death upon the sodomites themselves. Sodomy shortens the life of those who practice it. That's number two. Number three, we'll talk about the extreme violence and child molestation by sodomites. Number four, we'll talk about the sodomite agenda in public education. Number five, we'll talk about we ask the question, what about sodomite adoption of children? Number six, we talk about the corporate and political attack against Christians. And number seven, we would refer you back, as we've already stated, to our scriptural presentation on sexual perversion and sodomy. These very brief statements here do not even touch the surface of the material that we have looked at. We had considered posting the links to many of the internet sites that we have visited in our research for this project. However, much of the material that we have studied is very dangerous for immature and young Christians to look at. Most of the internet sites we visited were put up by Christians, but because of the nature of the battle they are involved in, their ministries have to present lurid details that are an abomination to the Christian conscience, as well as morally offensive to most of the unsaved. Pray for them. I'm not talking about church websites, but websites that have been put up by Christians with the sole purpose of fighting against the sodomite agenda. We could not stand large doses of it at one time because it was so spiritually oppressive and morally offensive. Those who push the sodomite agenda are hell-bent on the destruction of Bible-believing Christianity. They are pushing their agenda through infiltrating, subverting, and perverting our public schools, our government, our public institutions, our private institutions, our colleges, our places of employment, our entertainment, our hospitals, our military, and yes, even our churches. We are rapidly approaching, if we have not already exceeded, the depravity and degradation of the days of the worldwide flood and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I have actually come to the conclusion that we are even more wicked than what Sodom and Gomorrah was. We believe that it is proceeding at a much faster rate than in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, because it is being pushed through the television, the internet, the print media, and the movie industry. If it is not stopped, it will lead to the destruction of the United States of America. Christian, if you're reading or listening to this, we would tell you that we do not have much time to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. Think about it. How can God continue to tolerate the wickedness of America when he destroyed both the world and then afterward Sodom and Gomorrah for the same wickedness that we are involved in? Most Americans who watch television and movies and surf the internet are already swimming around in a toilet of sexual perversion and waiting to be flushed into the cesspool and sewer of sodomy. The sad fact is that many Christians feed themselves a constant diet of this spiritual cyanide. Christians are being spiritually dumbed down daily. Christians are being desensitized by the constant barrage of the occult and sexual perversion that they feed themselves through a daily diet of the television and the internet. For the Christian and the non-Christian, what is the cost for all of this? Now, we realize that they have come up with a lot of treatments that handle AIDS a lot better than what they did when the epidemic of it first hit. And now I want to say that the data that we're going to be using in this particular presentation was this particular document that I used to present this particular session is all the way from back in 2013. And a lot of the examples are pretty well dated. But let me say this. They are dated, but they are still 100% applicable to the situations that exist today. The only caveat to that is that it has actually grown much more worse than what it was when I first wrote this article. So the examples that I'll use are still applicable. In 2007, there were 14,561 deaths from AIDS in the United States. As of the end of 2007, there had been 1,051,875 AIDS cases diagnosed in the United States. Since the start of the AIDS epidemic through the year 2007, there have been 583,298 AIDS deaths in the United States. That death count exceeds the total United States deaths in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Iraq-Afghanistan War combined. There have been 5,183 deaths in the United States from AIDS in children 14 and under since the start of the AIDS epidemic. There were 56,300 new AIDS cases in the United States in the year 2006. That number was expected to increase in future years. If we had a similar plague with a virus such as the H1N1 virus, there would be a public outcry to do something to stop it. Why don't the politicians do something about the AIDS epidemic and those who spread it? It is because the sodomites have latched onto their sin as a civil right. Any other disease with a death toll as high as AIDS would have resulted in either a quarantine or some legislative or executive action to bring it under control. It is a proven fact that 83% of new AIDS cases are diagnosed in sodomite men. Note that. Those figures are old, but back when they were running data on it, 83% of the new cases were in sodomite men. That does not count the AIDS that is spread into little boys who have been molested and sodomized by these devil-possessed, vile male perverts. Many of these sodomite men have also molested little girls. The 83% statistic also does not reflect the percentage of women who have been infected with AIDS by so-called bisexual men. There are at least 33 million people worldwide that are infected with AIDS, with the AIDS virus. Since 1981, there have been at least 25 million deaths from the AIDS virus. Worldwide, at least 2 million of those infected are children. Worldwide, there are at least 11,600,000 children who have been orphaned by the AIDS virus. What is wrong with that picture, folks? Why didn't they do anything about it back then? We had millions that were dying worldwide because men will not give up their vile affections, and our political leaders continue to pander to them. Wake up, American leaders. The sodomites are causing untold millions of deaths worldwide, and you are afraid to do anything about it. Or maybe it's intentional that you don't do anything about it, since most world leaders, including American leaders, are strong advocates of population control. If you don't believe that statement, look at the percentage of American leaders who are pro-abortion. None of the above statistics reflect the untold cost in billions of dollars in increased health care costs in the United States alone because of the AIDS epidemic. Now, some of that you may have never heard, and I realize that the AIDS epidemic has, in the United States, for the most part, has probably been brought under control, but you just heard what the terrible cost was at it when it was infecting so many people. And folks, the cause of it was those people, the sodomites who were pushing sexual perversion, and then as a result of that, they would get infected with the AIDS virus, and it just continued to spread like wildfire. Now, the plague of death upon the sodomites themselves. Sodomy shortens the life of those who practice it. Most of the following information is presented in short statements that come from data we have extracted from information we collected on the sodomite agenda in America. Most of it is presented as bullets with some occasional comments. You will be shocked at most of the facts. A study has revealed that the top three health hazards for sodomite men in order of danger are number one, AIDS. Number two, chemical abuse, in other words, drugs. And number three, same-sex violence, and that is sodomite against sodomite violence. The same study revealed that the top three health dangers for sodomite women are number one, cancer, number two, chemical abuse, number three, same-sex violence, again, sodomite against sodomite violence. In 1976, a rare form of scarlet fever infected many of the sodomites in San Francisco. Obituaries numbering 6,516 from 16 U.S. homosexual journals over the past 12 years were compared to a large sample of obituaries from regular newspapers. The obituaries from the regular newspapers were similar to U.S. averages for longevity. The median age of death of married men was 75, and 80% of them died old. By that they mean age 65 or older. For unmarried or divorced men, the median age of death was 57, and 32% of them died old. Married women averaged age 79 at death. 85% died old. Unmarried and divorced women averaged age 71, and 60% of them died old. The median age of death for homosexuals, however, was virtually the same nationwide, and overall, less than 2% survived to old age. If age was the cause of death, the median age for death was 39. For the 829 sodomite men, who died of something other than AIDS, the median age of death was 42, and 9% died old. The 163 female sodomites, what we call lesbians, had a median age of death at 44, and 20% died old. Digest those figures, folks. Look at how young they die in comparison. 2.8% of sodomite males die violently. They were 116 times more apt to be murdered, 24 times more apt to commit suicide, and had a traffic accident death rate 18 times the rate of comparably aged white males. Heart attacks, cancer, and liver failures were exceptionally common. 20% of the sodomite females or lesbians died of murder, suicide, or an accident, and a rate that was 487 times higher than that of white females aged 25 to 44. The age distribution of samples of homosexuals in the scientific literature from 1989 to 1992 suggest a similarly shortened lifespan. A study of 6,714 obituaries in gay newspapers across the United States revealed that 3% of the 6,574 gays and 20% of the 140 lesbians had died violently. Think about that. 1.4% of the gays and 7% of the lesbians were murdered, rates over 100 times those of non-gays. 0.6% of gays and 5.7% of lesbians committed suicides, rates dozens of times those of non-gays. 0.6% of gays and 4.3% of lesbians died in motor vehicle accidents, and that's over 17 times the rate of non-gays. What would you say is going on there? Just think about it. And folks, that hasn't changed since I gathered these figures. In fact, I would venture to say that it is probably much worse. These events, coupled with the various sexually transmitted diseases, especially AIDS, gotten from other gays, resulted in a median age of death of 40 among sodomite men and a median age of death of 45 among sodomite women. In the same study, comparison samples of married men had a median age of death of 75 and married women a median age of death of 79. For divorced or single person, the median age of death was 57 for men and 71 for women. Next up, the extreme violence and child molestation by sodomites. The worst mass murders in the United States, in United States history, were committed by sodomite men. The world's worst mass murderers were sodomite men. Here they are documented for you. These were all sodomites. Donald Harvey claimed 37 victims in Kentucky. John Wayne Gacy raped and killed 33 boys in Chicago, burying them under his house and in his yard. Patrick Kearney accounted for 32, cutting his victims into small pieces after sex and leaving them in trash bags along the Los Angeles freeways. Bruce Davis molested and killed 27 young men and boys in Illinois. A male sodomite, sex murder, torture ring, and the individuals involved were Correll, Henley, and Brooks, sent 27 Texas men and boys to their grave. Juan Corona was convicted of murdering 25 migrant workers. He made love with their corpses. That's how wicked these folks are. Lesbian Eileen Warnos in Florida in 1992 became the worst female killer in the United States with at least 7 middle-aged male victims. Now, the association between serial murder and sodomy has a long history. Two gays, sodomite men, compete for the spot of world's worst murderer. During the Nazi reign of terror, Auschwitz executioner Ludwig Tiny strangled, crushed, and gnawed boys and young men to death while he raped them. Though his grand total is uncertain, he often murdered as many as 100 a day. Giles de Rais, called Bluebeard, brutally destroyed the lives of 800 boys. Each lad was lured to his home, bathed and fed. Just as the poor boy thought, "This is my lucky day," he was raped, then killed by being ripped or cut apart and either burned or eaten. Folks, that is wicked. A study of 518 sexually related mass murders in the United States from 1966 to 1983 revealed that 350, or 68%, of the victims were killed by those who practice homosexuality, and that 19 of them, or 44%, of the 43 murderers were bisexuals or homosexuals, sodomites, in other words. A Washington State correction counselor in a study that covered the years 1971 through 1982 said that in young murders under the age of 36, that about 50% of the murders they committed were connected to sodomy in some way. A Canadian flight attendant deliberately shared his AIDS virus with an average of 250 men a year for a period of 11 years between 1970 and 1980. He was responsible for at least 40 of the first 248 AIDS cases in America. In 1992, two Jeffersonville, Indiana lesbians, aged 17 and 16, abducted a 12-year-old girl whom they accused of trying to steal a girlfriend. The little girl was pushed into the trunk of a car, stabbed repeatedly, and beaten with a heavy metal bar. While still struggling, they poured gasoline on her and set her ablaze. Later that year, a Fort Lauderdale, Florida 14-year-old was convicted of first-degree murder for helping to kill his 40-year-old father. The father was stabbed 45 times and beaten so badly with an iron skillet that the skillet shattered. The boy confessed that he helped his father's former homosexual lover and roommate kill him so he and the 31-year-old could live together. Folks, that's beyond wicked is what that is. Next up, even worse is the fact that an average of 24% of statutory rape, which we call child molestation, involves homosexuality, in other words, sodomy. In one study, 25% of white guys, sodomites, admitted to sex with boys 16 or younger when they were aged 21 or older. Study after nationwide study has yielded estimates of male sodomites that average 3%. The promotion of female sodomites, what we call lesbians in these studies, is almost always lower, usually about 1%. So overall, perhaps 2% of the adults regularly indulge in homosexuality, sodomy. Yet they account for an average of 30% of all molestations of children. Studies show that 10% of the sons of sodomite fathers were molested by their fathers. 4% of male sodomites had their first sodomite experience with a school teacher. A McCall's Magazine survey of 1,400 school principals revealed that 35% of all sexual contact between a school teacher and an underage pupil involved sodomy. Statistically speaking, a homosexual is at least 15 times more likely to molest a child. In 1990, the Dutch Parliament passed a law lowering the consensual age for homosexual sex to 12. Yes, folks, that's right. 12 years of age. That is wicked. That's straight out of the pits of hell is where it came from. Next up, the North American Men-Boy Love Association, otherwise referred to as NAMBLA, has a stated goal of the removal of all legal barriers to man-boy sex. These sodomites think that the molestation of young boys is a civil right. In other words, they think that they have a right to sodomize your sons, no matter how young they are. Next up, officials at a facility which serves about 1,500 runaway youngsters each year estimate that about half of the boys have been homosexually abused and 90% of the girls have been heterosexually assaulted. Investigation of those suffering severe chronic mental illness implicates child molestation as a primary cause in 45% of the cases where the youngsters were assaulted by sodomites. A 1991 Massachusetts study of 100 convicted child molesters showed that 33% were sodomites. And they're using the term homosexual, folks, and I'm using a Bible term here for what they're doing to these children. It said again, a 1991 Massachusetts study of 100 convicted child molesters showed that 33% were homosexual, 33% were bisexual, still sodomites, folks, and 33% were heterosexual. We think they missed the boat. The group of heterosexuals were also sodomites because they sexually molested children. The three largest studies of child molestation prove that if a child was molested by a sodomite, that fully two-thirds, that's 66.6%, 666 of the children would be, or 66.6% of the children would engage in homosexuality as an adult if they were sodomized as a child. Any attempt to get justice for a child that has been molested by a sodomite is viewed as gay bashing. One such event was the recent molestation of a 5-year-old boy by his sodomite adopted father, who was also a professor at Duke University. He tried to peddle his 5-year-old adoptive son, whom he had been molesting, to another sodomite and was caught by the FBI. Little was made of it in the left-wing news media. Compare that to the firestorm that was stirred up when some Duke lacrosse players were falsely accused of raping a black woman. Where is the righteous indignation in all of that? Now, the sodomites also have an agenda in public education, and they've been pushing it for many, many years now. For decades, they've been pushing it. So another area that should be of great concern for Christians is the wholesale incorporation of the sodomite agenda into the public education system. Books are being pushed that promote same-sex parenting. Sodomite relationships are being promoted as natural in our public school systems. Our children are being taught that sodomy is an okay lifestyle. The method being used is to have the secular humanists feed them a constant diet that is designed to program them into accepting the sodomite lifestyle. Our children are being brainwashed into accepting the sodomite lifestyle. If I tell you all of your life that black is white, and then at some point in time you will argue with me that black is white, even if it's not true. Our young children are being forcefully fed sodomite propaganda. Folks, and you just would not believe how it has advanced. I do a lot of reading, and I've seen a lot of incidents where these transgender folks are getting together and holding what I call burlesque shows in church sanctuaries, where they are put before children promoting this particular agenda. Folks, it is straight out of the pits of hell. It's purely satanic. Our young children are also being sodomized in the public school system. Do you think that we're trying to mislead you when we say that there is a sodomite agenda for our public schools? There's a group called the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Teachers Network, GLSTN, based in New York City, that has over 4,000 members located in 40 different chapters throughout the United States. At the beginning of each school year, the GLSTN promotes a back-to-school campaign to promote the sodomite agenda in public schools. They are promoting curriculum development such as a lesbian, gay, and bisexual history project and support programs such as gay straight student alliances. Now, well, we're looking at some data here that is many, many years old. And folks, it has gone way beyond this now. It has, I hate to use the word progress, but it has grown way beyond this. It is beyond wicked. These groups, that Gay Straight Student Alliances, they use videos to indoctrinate school teachers and school administrators. One of these videos serves as a window into how teachers can find ways to teach children about gay issues, particularly in elementary and middle school classrooms. Did you hear that? Particularly in elementary and middle school classrooms. I have viewed parts of these videos, and I am appalled that they would be allowed to brainwash our children in such an ungodly manner. One of these videos attacks the Bible as a source for one's beliefs. In Providencetown, Massachusetts, the school board has voted to begin teaching preschoolers about homosexual lifestyles and to back hiring preferences for sexual minorities. Folks, this is not about education. It is about spiritual warfare. It is about pushing the liberal, sodomite, socialist agenda. They want to corrupt and defile our children. If a Christian organization tried to promote biblical principles in public schools in the same manner and using the same underhanded tactics, they would have the whole sodomite, socialist political regime in Washington to come down on their heads. The United States Senate, the United States House of Representatives, and the White House are full of sodomites and those who fear them. If Bible-believing Christians resorted to this type of behavior, the anti-American American Civil Liberties Union would marshal all their satanic forces to do whatever they could to deny Christians their basic constitutional rights. Where is the outcry against the violation of the rights of Christians? It is definitely not coming from the demon-possessed halls of Congress or the devils that occupy the filthy chambers of the White House. And if you look at both the Obama and the Biden administration, they really push this agenda. They allowed some corrupt practices to take place inside the White House and outside on the lawn of the White House that were just, they were beyond promoting sodomy. They were celebrating it's what they were doing. Now, next question up. How do you feel about the sodomites adopting children? That would have to be one of the biggest red flags that I would ever run up. It would go up immediately. What about sodomites being allowed to adopt children? The logical conclusion of the sodomite agenda is the destruction of mankind. They cannot reproduce, folks. If sex did not take place naturally between a man and a woman, there could be no reproduction of children. That would result in the extinction of humanity. The sodomites want God to make an exception for them. They want to violate God's laws of natural reproduction. Children are a privilege reserved to those who are willing to have sex God's way. That is why God declared same-sex relationships an abomination. They cannot reproduce their kind naturally because a man and a man or a woman and a woman cannot produce offspring. Duh. That is another proof that sodomites are not born, but are perverted into unnatural beast. So, the sodomites want straight people to produce children for them that they can then take and sodomize and make the children like themselves. It is not about love for the sodomite. It is about the feeding of the unnatural sexual desires of these brute beasts. They want a new victim. They are all great pretenders. They want to pretend that they can be parents. Being a parent is not a civil right that can be legislated against the laws of God. God intended that a man and a woman, and only a man and a woman, should be parents. That is why a man and a man and a woman cannot reproduce children. Again, we say, duh. Another aspect to the problem is that the sodomites expect a mother to bear a child for 9 months and then suffer the pains of childbirth that they, the sodomites, can have no part in. They cannot participate in any of that. They don't pay the price. It is a situation that violates the natural laws of God. For the child, where is the mother's nurturing love in a man and a man relationship? For the child, where is the father's disciplining hand in a woman and woman relationship? We are also opposed to artificial insemination for sodomite females. We say that if a sodomite wants children, let them permanently forsake their sin and do it God's way. They must not be allowed to adopt children. Having children is a natural right and not a civil right. Let me repeat that again. Having children is a natural right and not a civil right. It is the height of selfishness and self-deification for a sodomite to think that they have a right to children outside the natural realm of human reproduction. God has reserved to himself the right to have children outside the natural realm of human production. All Christians are children of God. Furthermore, there is nowhere in the animal kingdom where God allows offspring for same-sex animals. Do it God's way or don't do it at all. President Obama was in favor of letting sodomites adopt children. Would President Obama allow a sodomite, or would he have allowed a sodomite to adopt his children? That's a question I would like to ask these reprobates that promote the sodomite agenda. Next up, we're going to talk about the corporate and political attack against Christians in dealing with this particular issue of sexual perversion and sodomy. Christians are being discriminated against in the corporate business world by what amounts to a gag order from the federal government. You either conform to the sodomite agenda or face stiff penalties. Government workers are also falling victim to this federal institutionalized discrimination against Christians. Free speech for Christians is out. Christian bashing is definitely in. All have rights except fundamental Bible-believing Christians. Men and women are being fired and denied promotions because they state that they are opposed to sodomy. A Christian man was recently fired from Brookstone stores at Logan International Airport in Boston because he told a woman that it was his Christian conviction that same-sex marriage was wrong. Many corporations and the federal government require that employees attend sensitivity training and sexual harassment training with a focus on homosexual rights, or the rights of sodomites is what it really is. A couple in Texas was sued because they refused to perform services for a sodomite wedding. Allstate Insurance Company fired Matt Barber because he wrote an article on his own time that was critical of homosexuality. That is nothing more than using economic pressure or blackmail and extortion to stifle the free speech rights of Christians. Folks, it is unconstitutional. A church in South Carolina was sued because they refused to rent their facilities to a group of sodomites. We could name many more examples where the government and private corporations are using blackmail and extortion to violate the free speech rights of those who speak out against the sodomite agenda. Many major corporations are sponsoring gay events. Don't even dare to sponsor a Christian event because some sodomite, the American Civil Liberties Union, or the government will take you to court. One of the biggest legislative and executive tragedies in our history was the passage of the hate crimes legislation in the United States Congress in October of 2009. Just because you do not like something I say does not make it a crime if what I state is a fact. It's called freedom of speech, folks. The hate crimes legislation was a travesty against Christians. The hate crimes legislation is just another step in Satan's master plan to imprison Christians who, in their exercise of freedom of speech, call sodomy what it is. Sodomy is sin. Sodomy is an abomination before God. Sodomy is sin. Sodomy is an abomination before God. A study of statistical data proves that the only violence that sodomites have to fear is that perpetrated against sodomites by sodomites. And we have already talked about that previously. Much of their perverted pleasure is derived from beating one another up. Statistically, they are the most violent group in America. Want to see what your vile president and Congress are up to? There are many bills that are on the sodomite agenda that are being sponsored before the United States Congress. Read the following. And once again, we're talking about old data here, but it still applies. It still fits. Hate crimes, or in other words, thought crimes. Status, passed House and Senate attached as an amendment to DOD Appropriations Bill, H.R. 1913. Now in the House and Senate conference. Now passed. Next up, federal special workplace rights based on homosexuality and gender confusion. That bill had 40 co-sponsors in the Senate and 180 co-sponsors in the House, and all but five are or were Democrats. Next up, allowing admitted homosexuals in the military. That was H.R. 1283. Audaciously entitled Military Readiness Enhancement Act of 2009. It had 170 co-sponsors, All but one were Democrats. Homosexual indoctrination in schools via bullying and the Safe Schools funding. That was House Resolution 2262, innocuously titled Safe and Drug-Free Schools and Community Acts. 88 co-sponsors, all but one was a Democrat. Federal Domestic Partner Benefits for Homosexuals, H.R. 2517, sponsored by lesbian representative Tammy Baldwin, Democrat, Wisconsin. Domestic Partnership Benefits and Obligation Act, 110 co-sponsors, all but one was a Democrat. Repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act, that was H.R. 3567, mischievously named the Respect for Marriage Act. It would repeal DOMA, which was a Defense of Marriage Act, which protects states from being forced to recognize out-of-state gay marriage. Homosexual Representative Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts, opposes this bill due to timing. Next up, we have the Homosexual Couples Immigration Expansion, called Reuniting Families Act. That was H.R. 2709, and it would allow homosexuals to sponsor their permanent partners for residency in the United States. Now, back when I first gave this presentation back years ago, I encouraged people to write an email and call their representative and senators to protest all of that vile legislation that was proposed. President Obama was, up until Joe Biden, was the most pro-sodomite president America had ever had. President Obama continued his pro-homosexuality pandering in a September the 28th Family Day, listen at that, Family Day proclamation, by including children raised by a same-sex couple in a list of types of American families. Of all the family types he lists, only one, homosexual-led families, intentionally creates motherless or fatherless households. There is no moral equivalence between children raised without a mom or dad due to a tragedy, death of a spouse, divorce, a father who abandons his family, etc., and the same caused by two homosexual adults who defy nature by borrowing from heterosexuality to produce a child, and then dispense with God's wise provision of a mother and father parenthood to raise it. This is the obvious difference between Obama's families that social liberals refuse to acknowledge or to make relevant in public policy. Queer parenting and gay adoption are a part of a radical social experiment that is in progress, and innocent children are the guinea pigs. Who can know the effects on a young child being raised by two homosexual men like gay adoption poster boy Dan Savage, who boasts of the three-way sex he and his husband Terry engaged in while parents of an adopted boy. Think about that, folks. And these demons, these reprobates, think all that stuff is okay. Now, on June 17, 2009, President Obama signed an executive order extending federal benefits to gay partners of federal government employees. Next up, President Obama, Obama has also appeared at several gay sponsored events to assure them that he is for promoting their rights. At a fundraising event for the Sodomite Human Rights Campaign, Obama was the keynote speaker and stated that homosexuality-based relationships are just as real and admirable as normal and natural relationships between a man and a woman. What a deceived man. Willfully deceived, folks. President Obama is a man that is on par with Ahab in Israel and Manasseh in Judah when it comes to promoting the wicked sodomite agenda. In one sense, President Obama was much like they were. His conscience is just as seared as theirs is. We think that Romans 1, verse 32 is very appropriate here. That verse says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Folks, we've actually gone beyond that. America turned reprobate many, many years ago, and we've gone way beyond being turned over to a reprobate mind. There's a wickedness that has settled into the very fiber of American society, and it will result in the destruction of America if America does not repent. Most of our leaders today are no different than those that God judged with the worldwide flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. They are worthy of death. I am not saying that we should kill them, but I'm saying that God would be totally justified in destroying them and their sponsors. I have never studied anything so vile and repulsive in my life. I feel like I have been violated by Satan himself. Christians, we need to pray for the salvation for these vile people. They need Jesus. We also need to pray that God will protect us and our children from their vile affections and their violence. God deliver us. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Americans, how many of our children will have to go through the fires to Molech before we will stand and fight for them? How many of our children will have to be thrown into the feeding frenzy of Satan's sharks of sodomy? There is much more information out there. The details are just too lurid and too filthy to present in the context of a discussion that many Christians will look at and listen to and read. When it comes to acts of sodomy, the devil really is in the details. Sodomy is purely satanic. Those who practice sodomy are children of the devil. Child molesters are sodomites no matter what their stated sexual preference is. Now, this has been a very difficult presentation to give on the consequences of sexual perversion and sodomy. And like I said at the outset of this particular presentation, this thing is dated, folks. It is dated all the way back to, I think somewhere in November 2013 is when I actually prepared this series the first time that, I both wrote about it and the first time that I presented it in any kind of a class. And folks, things are much worse now than what they were then. I just want to warn you about that, and I would encourage you to do some more research on it. I would encourage you to stand and fight, because if Christian parents and Christian pastors, Christian congregations don't stand up and fight this fight, they are going to destroy many more of our children. And folks, we just cannot allow that to happen. I want to thank you for joining us today.